This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. More and more Americans are not going to the office every day. Not because they're unemployed. No, they've got a job. It's just that they're not going in with everybody else to do that job. Instead, they're staying home. Or in some cases, perhaps they are traveling so much that they're doing it from a remote location. Well, there's a new book about that called Remote, Office Not Required, by Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen. And David joins me now here on America Weekend. Hi, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. More and more people are living this lifestyle, and you say that a tipping point for remote work is coming, that maybe the office is not going to completely cease to exist, but that its importance has peaked. Explain that.
Well, we've been working as a remote company for the last 10 years, and we've seen that when we started, it was a really esoteric, weird thing for us to do. Well, it's not so weird anymore. Today, more than 3 million Americans work remotely, work from home or elsewhere, not in an office, and that number is rapidly on the rise. Just over the past 10 years or so, there's been a 70% increase in people who work remotely. All this is born out of just the technical revolution. We have tools now that are incredibly productive that allow people to collaborate really effectively, even though they're not in the same place anymore. So you have all these benefits of being able to attract top talent and combine that talent, even if that talent doesn't happen to be in the same 30-minute commute zone as your office.
Yeah.
That's a real boost both to employees and to employers.
You talk about collaboration. I bet there are a lot of bosses who don't want their employees to work from somewhere else, particularly from home, because they think, oh, I got to have them in the office so we can have more meetings.
Absolutely. Bosses is actually the biggest obstacle to remote work. Most employees, if you talk to them, they intuitively see the benefits of, hey, if I didn't have to spend 2 hours every day commuting back and forth, that would be great. If I didn't get interrupted every 5 minutes at the office, I might actually get something done. Well, bosses think that you have to have direct line of sight for them to be in control. It's a very caveman approach to management that unfortunately is quite prevalent. So the first thing you have to do to get into remote work is to build an environment of trust. And we found that when you trust employees to do great work from home, they live up to your high expectations. Versus on the other hand, if you don't trust your employees and you think they're just going to be slacking off, well, they can slack off at the office too.
Isn't part of that trust also having to overcome a boss who thinks, well, if you're at home, you're just going to be goofing off. How do I know that you're actually working 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or 10 to 6 or whatever it is? How do I know that you're not, you know, taking your kid to a soccer game or watching TV or not getting done what you're supposed to be getting done? Because I don't see you. I don't know that you're actually working. What do you say to that?
That's really just what's so funny, because it reveals so much about the boss's lack of power here. They're trying to supervise the person instead of supervising the work, and that really rarely works. What they should be looking at is the output. Is somebody doing great work? Is they doing enough work? And evaluate that work, give feedback on that work, and all these problems go away. Why do you care as a boss whether somebody's working from 9 to 5 or if they're working from 11 to 7 or if they can get the same amount of work done as you're expecting them to in maybe 6 hours? Wouldn't that be just as well? What really matters is the amount of work and the quality of work being done, not where people are doing it, not when people are doing it, not whether you can see people when they're doing it.
I also know a bunch of people who work from home, and they actually work harder at home. And part of the reason is they don't have the distraction of their coworkers around them all the time. So they're not taking a 15-minute coffee break. They're not talking about, you know, the World Series or a football game or where they went last night and what they did. They're home and they're actually spending more hours of the day effectively doing the job.
That's what's so ironic about this. Most bosses are so worried about underwork, about people goofing off. What they should be worried about is overwork. When people all of a sudden have long stretches of uninterrupted time, they get amazing amounts of stuff done. You know what? That feels great. Getting stuff done, making a real difference and a big contribution, that feels good. So people keep doing it. And what we found is that I actually, as a manager, my key job now has to be checking in with people, making sure that they're not working too long hours, making sure that they actually do take their vacation, and making sure that they're fit for the next 10 years of working at my company, not just sprinting for the next 6 months and then getting burned out.
What are the economics of people not working together in an office?
Well, there's so many savings. First of all, of course, everybody can stop commuting. Not only commuting their life away, commuting the environment away, but also commuting their money away. If you add up how much money you spend commuting an hour back and forth each day, sitting in an SUV, it very quickly adds up to about $10,000 a year in gas and maintenance, so on and so forth. That's money right into the pocket of the employee. For the employer, you can have a much smaller office. For the longest time, we didn't even have an office. We just subletted 5 desks at another company's offices, and then people just work from home. There are all these savings that you can have. It's not the key point. It's kind of the cherry on top. You shouldn't be doing it just to save money, but it's nice to know that you are and you're doing something good at the same time.
So the company's saving money because they're not providing the office space. Most of these people are working from home in a spare bedroom or a basement somewhere. All of that is also probably good for the environment, reducing everybody's carbon footprint because there's less travel, right?
Absolutely. It's a huge part. I mean, not only that, but can you imagine just the freedom of getting away from sitting in rush hour traffic for an hour and more every day? We just posted a thing on our blog asking for the worst commutes that people have, and I was just wrenched by hearing some of the stories of people spending 1 hour or even 2 hours each way sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I mean, that is certainly a way of sucking the life out of anybody.
When we talk about people who are working from home, we're leaving out a large group of people. You can't be a restaurant waitress from home. You can't be a hairdresser at home. You can't work in a shoe factory at home. We're talking mostly about kind of white-collarish jobs here, aren't we? How much of the population are we even talking about as potential remote workers?
Absolutely. It starts out being mainly knowledge workers, but I think that fear is growing larger and larger all the time. Some of the companies we feature in this book are companies you might not instantly think that, oh, that's a good fit. Healthcare companies, people who manage insurance, lawyers, accountants. There are all these professional services, designers, programmers, journalists, people who produce sort of knowledge work, who sit in front of a computer or who do research of those kinds. Those are the most obvious fits right away. But I think as time goes on, more and more people will fall into this category. Software is eating the world is a sort of a saying right now in the tech business. And more industries are turning to knowledge work and they're automating things and people are sort of moving up from doing manual labor to doing knowledge work instead. So I think this is going to be a growing part of the economy, obviously, and more people are going to be eligible to be part of this remote working revolution.
One last question for you. What does this mean for the economics of the individual? Are there bosses who are saying to somebody, you know what, you can work from home, but that'll be part of your benefit package, and I'm not going to pay you as much?
I think that's a terrible way to look at it. I think people should be looking at it not from mainly an economic perspective, from the boss's perspective, but from getting access to better talent, getting more productive people, getting happier people, getting less churn, getting people who just love being with the company for longer. The economics for the individual are really interesting, too, though. If you are not forced to live in a big city with the high cost of living that come from living in, say, New York or San Francisco or somewhere else, you can make an absolute huge jump in your standards of living by just moving somewhere cheaper, moving to a small town somewhere. We have lots of people spread out all over the U.S. in towns you would not expect to be tech towns. Idaho, Tennessee, all sorts of areas that have low cost of living, where the salary that we pay people, and we pay everybody the same salary, whether they live in Tennessee or they live in New York. You can imagine how much further your dollar goes in Tennessee than New York.
And right along with that is, if I want to hire you, I no longer have to pay to move you here.
Huge benefit. Not only pay to move you, sort of you don't have to pay the cost of uprooting somebody and all the turmoil that comes with that. Maybe they have to move their family and they have to find schools, and they have to do all this stuff, which prevents them from focusing on the work itself. And before you know it, somebody has spent 3 months or more just getting settled in their new location. What a waste of time.
The book is called Remote, Office Not Required by Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen. They're the guys behind the software company 37 Signals, and they've got lots of people working remotely for them. Thanks so much for joining me, David.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.